Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
And just a reminder that tomorrow on the show, our regular GP, Dr. Maura Finn, will be talking about heart health, congenital issues, irregular rhythms, and what can lead to a heart attack. So if you have any questions for Dr. Maura Finn about heart conditions or good heart health, you can email us now. That's at todaycb@rte.ie, todaycb@rte.ie. Now, are you a true crime addict? It turns out you are not the only one, as there has been a boom in popularity for the genre over recent years. But what makes us become fixated on these depictions of real life events? And what should be top of your must-watch list if you are a fan? I'm joined now by Deirdre Malumbi from entertainment.ie and by former Assistant Garda Commissioner Pat Leahy for his expert eye on how they are put together. Deirdre, I'll bring you in first. Did our obsession with true crime start with Making a Murderer, that Netflix series?
I think it really was that show, first of all. And I think that Netflix has been really good at identifying, you know, what viewers are kind of looking for and following on from the success of Making a Murderer. They really did release true crime series after true crime series, and they've been released kind of over the years. There are now, you know, several out every year. So I think that that was really the start of this obsession. And I suppose from the very nature of Netflix, you know, you could binge through these series. You could kind of watch if you needed to, you could kind of pause if you needed to take a break or whatever, or just binge through if you have to know the solution to the mystery, if there ever was one.
Another big one, of course, was Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes.
That's right. Yeah, I think there was always kind of a historical fascination about around Ted Bundy, and to see this, you know, all the footage and all the history of everything that happened put together. Again, it just, there was something about it that kind of really connected with viewers. I think that there's, you know, the combination of the fact that this is historical, this is something that happened, but also there's a distanciation. You know, the viewer can watch true crime and think, oh, well, it didn't happen to me, but they can also be fascinated by the fact that this did actually happen. So there's something of a surreal connection, I think, that happens with viewers when they watch true crime, which is kind of fascinating, I think.
Does it, though, appeal to the rubbernecker in all of us, like that fascination with the macabre, with the dark?
I think so, definitely. And just, you know, our obsession with sensationalism and stuff like that. But again, because it's, I suppose, because it's like a TV series you're watching, maybe there's a little part of us that's kind of fictionalizing it a little bit as well. We can just distance ourselves from it. But there is also, yeah, there's definitely an obsession with the macabre. We like to know these gory details, even though they kind of repulse and strike fear in us as well. So there are so many levels to, I think, what the viewer experiences when they watch true crime, which is why we go back to these types of shows over and over again.
Can I bring in Pat Leahy then? Pat, you watch true crime.
Morning, Katie. Morning, Deirdre. I do, Katie. I have to admit, I find it really interesting and entertaining.
But do you watch it in a different way than maybe the rest of us who have never had to, you know, do some of the things you've had to do for a living?
Yeah, you do, Katie, and I know from talking to some of my colleagues as well. We watch it kind of with a critical eye, but we also watch it in terms of its effect on society and on the population. And we often, you know, talk together and ask, you know, why are people so connected to this stuff? Why are they so interested in it? And I think it's probably because it allows people to step into an environment that they'll probably never find themselves in. I mean, because in order to get beneath the surface and see the evidence and see the witnesses and meet the witnesses and see how the evidence was presented and what happened in court and the justice system, you have to be part of the court process, or you had to be up until recently. But now you can actually sit at home and you can watch that. You can be the victim, you can be the perpetrator, you can be the judge, you can be the jury. So you can place yourself in all of these different areas of the system, and you can ask yourself, what would I do in that situation, or what would I have done there? And also, it really presents an opportunity for people to step in to the system itself and into the program itself.
Are some better than others? I mean, what would be your top recommendations?
Well, I suppose the one that steps out for me or stands out for me is the O.J. Simpson trial. That was Trial of the Century. And the People versus O.J. Simpson at the moment is one to watch for me. But there are others. I mean, in fairness to the documentaries on the Sophie Tuscan de Plantier murder, I mean, they were riveting, and it had the whole country talking about it and questioning it and asking their friends, and it was a topic of conversation wherever you went. So that was really, really good. I like the Mindhunter series. And again, the Mindhunter series looks at real-life killers. Ed Kemper, the co-ed killer, 10 murders, the son of Sam, David Berkowitz, Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, Richard Speck, Elmer Wayne Henley, lots of people that are known, you know, internationally and historically for serious crimes. And it really allows you an inside view, because all of those episodes were based on the actual information provided during the police interviews. So they're very true to life. It gives you a look inside the mind of the killer.
You mentioned this, the Sophie Tuscan de Plantier case there. And of course, everyone will be familiar now that there is two documentaries, but two documentaries coming at the same, using the same information, but, you know, coming at it in a very different way. You know, we're talking about the Jim Sheridan one versus the Netflix one.
Absolutely. And they're not the only two, Casey. There's been quite a bit of work done on the Sophie Tuscan de Plantier murder. RTE did a very good one as well.
Yes,
Philip
Boucher
Hayes. It came out very recently, and I think it caught everybody's imagination because, it, as I say, it allowed people to step in and see the real witnesses. It allowed them to look at the real evidence. It gave them details that they didn't have before. And I think everybody in Ireland is a little bit affected by the fact that this was someone who came to our country, you know, to make a life for herself or someplace that, that she really liked to be. And it's almost an assault on all of us to have something like that happen to her. So everybody had a kind of a personal interest in it, and everybody has a view on it. And I'd say if I had a penny for every time somebody asked me now at this stage, you know, come on, who do you think did it? Like, you know, what do you think happened? And I think everybody has had that. So there's been huge interest in it. But in fairness, the two of them were very different or quite different. And the Jim Sheridan one for me was much more earthy. And it was the one that I preferred.
Yeah, it had a lot of Jim Sheridan in it, of course.
Absolutely. It was typical Jim, you know, down to earth, as I say, very earthy, very connected to it himself, you know, came across really well and brought it full circle in terms of, like, he was actually sitting in the courtroom over in France and he was reporting from there on the phone. So we got to see both sides of the conversation. Really well put together, I must say.
When you watch them, Pat, I'm really fascinated. Somebody that has worked at your level in policing, do you watch it and think, you know, why are, you know, do you get frustrated almost watching an investigation being, you know, played out in front of your eyes and thinking, why aren't they doing this, or why are they doing that, or why are they being so simplistic and portraying it this way?
Well, I suppose there's differences, Katie. Yes, of course you do. In some of them, you're just looking at mistakes that are being made and you're kind of saying, oh my God, how did that happen? Like, how did they not see that? But in other series, you're actually looking at manipulation of the justice system, really negative manipulation, whether it be by the police or other aspects of the justice system, like looking at the O.J. Simpson case now. I mean, that just threw up everything you can imagine about the justice system that's wrong. You know, and there's so much to consider in relation to that. I mean, because the context of the trial is really, really, really important, because it came 2 years after the Rodney King scenario in Los Angeles and the subsequent riots. First of all, the exoneration of the police officers in the trial for Rodney King. And there was, 63 people killed as a consequence and over 2,500 people injured in the riots. So, I mean, that was very, very recent in the minds of everybody there. So I think the jury in the O.J. Simpson case were looking at a very different victim or set of victims. And unfortunately, as we see in a lot of cases, the actual victims in these court cases are often peripheral to the events that happen after the murders. Indeed. And that's very sad. And I suppose it gives people a real, you know, view into what happens after a crime. But that one stands out for me as the number one if you want some really good viewing.
Yes, I have to say I agree with you. That was an excellent, excellent programme, The People versus OJ. I want to bring Deirdre back in now. Give us a few more that maybe if people haven't dived into this true crime genre to this degree, what else could they be looking out for?
Yeah, definitely. My kind of go-to source when it comes to true crime series, as I think is the case for a lot of people, would be Netflix. So all the ones I'm listing here, you can watch on Netflix. I really quite enjoyed The Innocence Files. So this revolves around The Innocence Project, which is kind of a court of last resort. And they're a nonprofit organization which looks to set free those who have been wrongfully convicted. So I just found this a really interesting series from the perspective of looking at different case studies. It was also looking at how, you know, methods of conviction such as tire prints, hair matches, bite marks, all of these things have kind of changed over the years. It looks at such issues as cross-racial identification. It looks at how DNA evidence has really kind of come to the forefront in crime cases a lot more in recent years. It's kind of fascinating. You compare that back to, you know, the Ted Bundy trial back in the 1970s and what kind of evidence was used, say, in that trial. So I just found it really kind of interesting, but also deeply emotional and personal as well, as you know, meet these people who've been put in prison for years wrongfully. It was really kind of fascinating to me. I also quite enjoyed Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. That was one that was out earlier this year, which depicts the Cecil Hotel in downtown LA, which was associated with all these notorious activities. But particularly, it looks into a 2013 case where this college student disappeared during her stay there. And I won't get into exactly what happens, but it's quite horrifying when you find out what happened and what was the aftermath of it. Again, you have this kind of contemporary phenomenon of internet sleuths kind of trying to take an active role in the case and try to solve it. And then it emerges what really happened. And it's actually quite tragic. So I found that really interesting. I quite enjoyed true crime series that bring it back to the victim and the victim's family and friends, because I think that that can be kind of a downfall and neglect of the true crime genre. I think Pat kind of touched on that as well, you know?
Yeah, that idea. And Pat, I might give you the final word on that. Just that idea that, you know, this victims are treated as fodder for these, really. And that, you know, we're turning tragedy into entertainment for people.
Yeah, it's a saddening part of all of it, Katie, really. And as I said, that look, the victims tend to become peripheral to all this. But look, if you're looking for a real emotional journey through a true crime, have a look at White House Farm. The White House Farm murders, 1985. You can get that on Netflix as well. Really emotional, really true to life. Shows all aspects of the criminal justice system again, all aspects of the failures in policing and the actual DNA elements to it, the real investigative elements that brought it to a final conclusion, but very, very emotional, very, very hard-hitting, but a really, really good watch.
Okay, good. Another good tip. And another one in from a texter there. My favourite true crime show was The Jinx, which explores the trial of real estate heir Robert Durst. Yeah, another excellent one there. Deirdre Malumbi, many thanks for that. Pat Leahy, thank you. Great tips there for some viewing over the coming days, weeks and months. But coming up now, is Peppa Pig responsible for morphing the way our children speak? We'll take a closer look at the influence TV is having on our accents next.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.